Alright, so, part three of Lechi v'Korah. This is Korah specific. We'll see if we actually need a full hour for it or not. We may just because I haven't looked at this in a week. That may slow things down. But the way that I structured it is I wanted to start off really with Korah as a heker and some of the issues that, you know, that entails, and then talk about positioning the heker in terms of where it is within the walls of the Mavui and so on, and then move on to how being a heker differs from being a machitza and some of the practical applications of that. So start off, it's very clear in the Gemara, I brought you Beis Amud Beis and Source Aleph, that Korah is indeed a heker, right? Amar Rav Yehuda, Mavui she'eino ro'i l'shituf. If you have a Mavui that is not suitable for shituf, you have your open Mavui. So, Hechshiro Balechi, if you use a Lechi, Hazorek L'Sochel Chayev, the guy who throws into it is going to be Chayev because he will have thrown from public into private. Hechshiro B'Korah, if on the other hand you use the Korah, Hazorek L'Sochel Potter, the person who throws from Rishus HaRabim into this Mavui is not going to be Chayev. Alma Kesavar Lechi Mishum Machitza B'Korah Mishum Heker. Because the Lechi acts as a Machitza, it's a real addition, well not a real, it's a sort of real additional wall. Right, we spent 2 weeks on whether that is an additional wall or not. The Korah Mishum Heker, the Korah's role is only Heker. Heker meaning something that is meant to attract the eye. It is meant to call your attention to, as we'll see, the end of the Mavui. And the Chayin Amar Rabba, Lechi Mishum Machitza, the Korah Mishum Heker, for Rabba Amar Echaze ve'Echaze Mishum Heker. Rabba is of the position that they're all actually Heker, but no one is disagreeing with the idea that this is a Heker. So what is the goal of the Heker? Rashi on Gimel Amar Aleph, I brought you in source base. Mishum Heker, the Lechzu Inshi Veledu de Takanta Avud. Ditakanta Avud, I should say. For people to see and know that you have made this Takana. And they won't then become confused and think that the area past the end of the Mavui, I'm sorry, the area within the Mavui is a Rishus HaRabim. So they need to know that this Takana is here. And so distinguish between the Mavui and Rishus HaRabim.
They won't think that the Mavui itself is Rishus HaRabim?
That they will not think the Mavui itself is Rishus HaRabim, correct. So when they see people carrying, they will understand, yeah, I can carry because it's Mavui. That's the idea. So the Pischa Zuta in Klal Aleph, it's in Tes and Yud within Klal Aleph. I brought you Tes here. If you use the Pischa Zuta PDF on Hebrew books, it's pages 10 and 11 of the PDF, says that in a sense, Heker is more effective than a halachic mechitza like Pitikra. It's actually better. Because when you have a Pitikra, so anybody who knows how Pitikra works understands, well, there's a wall there. But anybody who doesn't know how Pitikra works or isn't paying attention to Pitikra is not going to be able to tell the difference between anything. So having a heker is actually more effective. So take a look at Gimel. He says, "Dimitam mechitza l'chud, e'efshar lahatir l'taltal b'mavui." If you were just to call it a mechitza, you couldn't carry within the mavui there, meaning this non-mechitza mechitza that is Pitikra. Kevin dechazal chashishu shema yavol l'dozul l'taltal b'rishos harabim, because the concern is that people might by mistake carry in the rishos harabim. Imkein matar alas levatal chashash zeh al yidei shenazal lechi okara. So, how have you defeated that with your pseudo-mechitza? Asher shneim yiyu min adin mechitza mamash. V'chol zman deles leheker sheyiru kol arom dechiluk bein mavui zil d'rishus harabim lo mahani. Until people can see that there is a difference between this area and the rishus harabim, it is not effective. And the Pischa Zuta continues, and his point is to say that even if you say that one tefach works for Pitikra, one of the points we're going to have to discuss is, why not just say that every Korah is Pitikri or Advesosim?
Which it might be.
Well, that's the question. So the Pischa Zuta says, even if you will say that a Korah that is one tefach wide works for Pitikra, such that we'll view that as a trigger of Machitza, that's not going to absolve us of the need to have the Korah in mind before Shabbos. Because ultimately you need it to function as a heker. In other words, effectively what he's saying is this. If I put up a cross piece, right, and it's a tefach wide, so the Pitikra fans are going to say, great, you've accomplished Pitikra, it's a machitza, and therefore, even if it's omed me'elav,
right,
it was there on its own,
we say
not as a korah, right? And even if nobody expected to use it, it's still fine because it's a machitza. To which, He says, no, you also need it to be a heker.
But by, if it's arbet vachem, we don't say that. We say that would override.
Yeah, and right. So the reason why you wouldn't say that with arbet vachem, I think I'm going to say this later, but I'm not sure whether it's in here or not. But in case I don't, is because arbet vachem is definitely visible. In other words, you will have heker when you have four tefach.
Because I thought the Nesivos Rabbos mentioned in a footnote about the mechaber saying.
Yes, he does mention it. Correct.
But is he not certain there that whether or not that would work, even for the, say, Pitikra, overriding and necessity of Hecker?
Yeah, doesn't he he references this Piskazuta?
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I wasn't learning Piskazuta Kaseder. I think I got that.
Okay.
Yeah. I should have been learning it Kaseder because it's fantastic, but. Yeah. The Korah acts as a hecker, and in certain ways it's better as a hecker than it is as a mechitza generator. In terms of the width, so because you wanted to demonstrate not only existence but also intent, right? You did this as a takana. We care not only that it is visible, but we also care about how it looked, how it actually looks, and that's why we require kavius for binyan, the appearance of something that is permanent for construction, and so we want it to be one tefach wide. And Rashi says that in Soras Dalet, Rashi from Yigimel on the base, rechava kedei lekabel ariach, wide enough to support an ariach. We'll talk about the ariach later. Shedei doma lekavius livnos aleha binyan. It should be like something that is established, such that you could build atop it. So to support an ariach means that you could put an ariach on top. You can build. We also have a strength requirement. I have a width requirement and I have a strength requirement. Then we know about the strength requirements. The Gemara in Erev and Yud Gimel on the base that Rashi is commenting on in Source Dalet. He said it has to be bria. It has to be healthy enough, meaning strong enough. The word bari doesn't actually mean healthy. You know that. And we use it that way. But bari tends to mean something Rubenesque. Something that is large and that connotes a certain strength. That's what bari actually would be, which is why bari is also something that is certain, that is definite, right? Bari v'shema. It's all the same source. So we require it to be bari such that it could support an ariach. Why do we have a strength requirement? So Rashi on Gimel Amud Aleph, I brought you in source Hay, says, he's talking there about the fact that it shouldn't be something that would be taken away in the wind. He says, the Chachamim said it has to be strong enough to hold an Ariach, this brick. And if not, Shadi Lezika, the wind would just knock it down. Therefore, it is not considered to be significant. It has to be strong so that it won't be taken by the wind. I'm going to come back to that point in a bit. But first of all, the Gemara says indeed that it has to be strong enough to hold an Ariach. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Samach Gimel Yud Zayin, source Vav, from the Gemara, Shir HaKara Rechava Tefach, has to be a Tefach wide, Va'avya Kol Shehu, any thickness, Raksh, and meaning any minimal thickness, we'll talk about maximum thickness later. Raksh tehei chazaka kedei lekabel ariach, it has to be strong enough to hold an ariach, shechatzi levena shagimel tefachim, which is half of a three tefach brick, also known as one and a half tefach. Ve'im hi rechava arba tefachim, if it's four tefach wide, then in its richalios chazaka lekabel ariach, it does not need to be strong enough anymore to hold an ariach. And again, because that once you have that visibility, right, I guess it looks kavua. The Magen Avraham and Shin Samach Gimel Tes Zayin, the Mishnah Berurah and Shin Samach Gimel Nun Tes add that it has to be along the entire Korah at once. It's not that I have my Korah that stretches from here to there and one Ariach at some point along it is sufficient, but rather it has to be holding Arichin all along the thing. And that the Avodas HaKodesh and the Rashba in Source Zayin has, he says, "Utzvicha shnei bria lekabel dimus shel arichin kishir or ka, a whole row of arichin all along its length." Ketzad, hareisha akara arucha eser amos kishir rochbo shel mavui. Let's say your kara is 10 amos long, like the width of the mavoi, tzvichish nebriya lekabel, esrim arichin shochvin orkan la'orech hakora, v'nimtza orkan ochel eser amos. Right? He says you'll need to have 20 arichin. He gives you the math on it, because the ariach is 3 tefach long, which is half an amma. V'yeroyali, and then he goes into, well, you know, what you can get away with. Fine. That's not my point. But that's the Rashba's statement. The Ritva on Yud Gimel Amid Beis traces this to Yerushalmi. It's actually Yerushalmi in Erevin Aleph Gimel, which I did not bring you on your sheet, but it's fairly straightforward there in the Yerushalmi. The Nesilah Shabbos in Perachav Beis, Ha'ara Samach Beis, quotes the Tzemach Tzedek, which I didn't see in the Tzemach Tzedek. But the Tzemach Tzedek wrote that the Rambam seems to think... Right, so that's the problem. He doesn't tell you. He doesn't tell you Kadmon or not. He doesn't. I looked. I just didn't find it. I'm sure it's there. I just didn't find it. But the Tzemach Tzedek writes that the Rambam seems to think one Ariach is enough. So I didn't see it in the Tzemach Tzedek, but it's true that if you look at the Rambam's language in Hilchos Shabbos, Yudzayin Yegimel, which I brought you in Source Ches, he says, V'hu shetiyah bria lekabel ariach shu chatzi levena shloshet tvachim shloshet tvachim. Right? That's all that the Rambam wrote. He doesn't mention a row of arichin. So, okay, I guess that means he doesn't require a row of arichin. Right? Neither does the Shulchan Aruch, for that matter. In Shin Samach Gimel Yudzayin, the Shulchan Aruch mentioned nothing about a row of arichin.
Rabbi Yosef says the Bavli doesn't say anything about this.
And he's right. The Bavli doesn't say anything about this. So, what does holding an ariach actually mean? So, from the Gemara on Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph, it sounds as though you could just put clay beside the tefach to make it 1.5, and it's good enough because you could put clay there. However, the Ritva on Daf Yudalad in Source Tests says Nimla Hachatzi Tefach Hachaser Al Yedei Libun Shemelavdin Bitit Mikano Mikan. He says no, the missing half tefach, because your korah is a tefach wide, but your ariach is a tefach and a half. So he says the missing half tefach has to be filled with clay. That's actually what's going on. The Ritva wants you to actually have a surface that will be a tefach and a half, even if your korah itself is not a tefach and a half. He seems to be the lone view on this. You don't see other authorities taking this view. What if you have a very strong korah, but it's made out of straw? So from the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, which I brought you in Source Yud, it would seem that it's kosher, right? The Mishnah says, after saying Rechavak de la Kabbal Ariach, Briach de la Kabbal Ariach, Rabbi Dom Rechav Alfi She'en Briach, the next part says, Haisa Shalkash O Shalkanim, if it's made of straw or of reeds, Roanosa Kilu Shamateches, we see it as though it were made out of metal. So from that, it sounds like we're fine. I don't care what the material is. There's nothing.
How would you read that according to Tanna Kamma, though? How would you say that that's a libud?
Right, that's the problem. Your first view said bria. So the question is, who is actually speaking here? Right. When it says, if it's straw, we see it as though it's made of metal, is that Rabbi Yehuda talking? Yeah. Or is that supposed to be everybody's view? So if you take a look at Source Yid Aleph, Rabbi Jimmy Bartanura says, Harisa Shalkash Shalkanim Rabbi Yehuda Ka'amarla. That's actually Rabbi Yehuda talking. But let's Elchasakavah say, and we don't paskin like him. And indeed, that's the position of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says, we're not poskening this way, and we don't accept the one made of straw. And on that basis, the Tur and the Beis Yosef disqualified, so does the Aruch HaShulchan in Shin Samach Gimel Chaf. The Shulchan Aruch does not mention the Psul explicitly. It doesn't say, no kash, no kanim. However, the Taz explains why. The Taz in Shin Samach Gimel Yud Aleph, I brought for you in Yud Beis, says the following, Shetzach Shu Chazakim, the Shulchan Aruch says they have to be strong. Betur kasuv od bava achas. The tour has an additional case. Haisa shalkash shalkanim psula. That's our discussion. Nirali dohutzruch lichtov said. He says it appears to me that the tour had to write this to shalkash v'kanim einam nifsakim b'shvil koved chatzi levena. They're not going to break due to the weight of the half brick. Elam shemitoch shu rach. But since the material is soft v'dak and it is slender, nismaech v'nisakim. It gets crushed and bent. And it could be that the curvature of it is going to lower it to the point where it's below 10 tefach, and therefore it won't be good. And even if it does not break entirely, it will still be disqualified. So the Taz says two things. One is the obvious point that he makes, that, you know, this gets crushed and bent and so forth. But the other thing that he's saying, I think, is an explanation of why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring this, is because straw normally can't do it. And since straw normally can't do it, therefore the Shulchan Aruch didn't need to bring the psul. Now, the Ritva, I should note, is once again on his own. The Ritva Yigimel Amud Beis says kosher. He says it's okay. Now, if it's strong enough, indeed, why would I disqualify it? So the Taz has already told us it gets crushed easily and it bends below the necessary height. However, take a look at the Beis Yosef in Yud Gimel, where he simply says it's a low plug. Right? I'm not going to go through the whole thing. You've seen this. But the end of the Beis Yosef is Kevin Derov Karos Shalkash V'Shalkanim Einun Brios. In general, they're no good. So we don't want to start you on doing this. Okay. So we have then a requirement of headgear. It has to have a certain width. It has to have a certain strength. Is strength just another issue of appearances, like width, where we want it to look solid and therefore it has to be solid? Or are these two entirely separate requirements? So the fact that both width and strength use ariach as the standard makes it sound like they're linked. Right? It just happened to be that the definition of wide enough was an ariach, the definition of strong enough was to hold an ariach. That seems like a little bit of a stretch. But there are two views. One view is that they are both about the appearance of kvius. They're both about the appearance of permanence. And the Bir Halacha seems to say this. In Source Yudalud, look what the Bir Halacha does in his quotations of Rashi on Chazaka. He says, Ayin atam b'mishnah b'rish te nikr l'kol shekvius binyan ba. He says, see, the Mishnah Berurah says that you need kvius binyan. Kachas of Rashi with Mishnah Yigimel Amud Beis for Rabbeinu Yohanan. So writes Rashi in Yigimel Amud Beis. Forget Rabbeinu Yohanan. The key is Rashi. Amnam b'Rashi dav gimel pireshatam kidei shelo tehe karani telas beruach. He says Rashi on Yud Gimel told me that you want it to be visible, that it's, you know, that it's permanent. But Rashi on Daf Gimel said it's that you don't want it to be carried away by the wind. I know that Rashi was talking about two different things. The appearance of permanence was when it came to width. Not being carried away by the wind was when it came to strength. He is merging the two. Continue in the Bir Halacha. V'hinei b'rachava arba tfachim depasak ha-shulchan aruch te'ein etzerach lios chazak ala kabal ariach, where the Shulchan Aruch says it does not need to be strong enough to hold an ariach. Yesh la'ayin im ha-yadak kol kach shenitel az baruach imahani. What if it was so slender that it actually could be carried away by the wind? D'lefi pirish Rashi shang daf gimel al-karachot de'brachava dalet de'chashim ein choshin lazet. Rashi on daf gimel, who made the statement that it shouldn't be carried away by the wind. But if it's four tevach wide, then it's significant. We're not concerned. But according to Rashi over here, Rabbeinu Yonasan on Daf Yud Gimel, who says it has to be bria to call it to hold an ariach, then it can't. He's mixing and matching the two Rashis. He seems to believe, the Bir Halacha seems to believe that in fact they're both the same point. Strength and width are both about appearance of permanence. The Nesiva Shabbos in Chav Beis Ha'aron Nun Ches suggests why. He says both factors are about appearance of permanence. Something that is wide looks strong. However, if it isn't solid, if it isn't actually strong, then the wind will lift it. And everyone will see it isn't strong, and that will defeat the appearance of strength. You follow?
I found this very weird when we were learning it, but...
Oh, well, you find it just as weird now.
It's true, I am finding it just as weird, but...
He says that fundamentally what I want in my hacker is the appearance of strength. The appearance of strength can be thwarted in one of two ways. Either static, looking at it, that doesn't look strong, or dynamic, if something happens to it, right? It moves around in a way that it doesn't look strong. But both of them are fundamentally about the same issue. That's the way that the Nesiva Shabbos wants to explain this. I should note that the Tosefa Shabbos says, no, these are two different things. The Tosefa Shabbos is Shin Samach Gimel Lamed Beis. If you use the Hebrew books PDF, it's page 192. And he just says, look at the language of the Rambam. The Rambam, in his disqualification of Asherah in Source Tezvav, says Bakol Osin Kora Avolo Ba'Asherah Lefi Sheyesh Lerocha VaKora Shir. He says the reason you can't have a an Asherah built Kora is because there is a shear, there's a minimum shear for its width. V'chol Asherah Nasur Min Asherah, and that won't work because of the Asherah. He doesn't mention anything about strength. So the Tosefta Shabbos says that shows that the Rambam divides the two. Strength is not the same thing as width. I didn't find that as confusing either, frankly. But the nafkamina between the two, and this is where I come back to what you had asked before. I do come back to it then. The nafkamina between the two is, what if it's four tefach wide? So it's very visible. Do I still need the strength requirement? So indeed, there is no need for strength if the reason for both is appearances. At four tefach, you've taken care of it.
Well, I was asking about for the mechaber who says one tefach.
Right. No, that's also right. Yeah. But my point that I made in response is coming from this, I think.
Okay.
At four tefach, you have taken care of the strength issue, and therefore Ravi Law, quoting Rav on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Samach Gimel Yud Zayin, which we saw. Where was it? We had Shin Samach Gimel Yud Zayin, I think. Yeah, back in Source Vav. So they say no. They say, if you have four tefach, you're good. You're done. And so, in fact, as explained by the Or Zarua Erevin, the Nisim HaShabbos, I think, said Kuf Yud, but that's not, it can't be Kuf Yud. Kuf Yud is after Erevin already. So it's a typo. It's maybe Kuf Aleph, maybe Kuf Beis. But the Prima Gadim also, quoting Tosef HaShabbos, says this, because now it looks Kavua. In which case, the Nisim HaShabbos in Perek Chav Beis Ha'ara Samach Dalet notes that the Rambam, if he splits off strength as a non-appearance issue, is going to require strength, even if it's four tefach wide, and he will not accept the statement of Rabbi Elah quoting Rav. However, it's worth noting that the Rashba gives a completely different reason, not appearance, to say that there's no need for strength when you have four tefach. In other words, he says, you're right, there is no need for strength when you have four tefach. But it's not because it looks kahua. Rather, it's what we've already discussed. Right, I brought it here for you in Tes Zayin. V'yeroeli shim haisa rachava arba ubriya lekabel mahaziva shehi materes. He says if it's four tefach wide and just strong enough to hold the mahaziva is the gutter, the drain, and this is less than the ariach apparently. It's also made up. This whole mahaziva thing seems to be made up with the avodas hakodesh. I didn't find anybody else bringing this as a standard. But he says, if it's strong enough to hold the maziva, that's enough. V'lo mishum heker. It's not acting as a heker. Ela she pitikra yorid v'sosim. Pitikra kol she'ein pesach amavo yosem e'eser. Assuming that you're not at more than 10 amos. V'chein yeroi li she'ilo yisra chava shiva. And as far as that goes, I'll add to it. I'll say, if it's 7 tefach wide, avo bi she'ein abriya k'shera. Even if it's not strong, it's going to be kasher. She'kol she'ra chava shiva ha'ayin shalad esba. If it's 7 tefach, the eye will already see it. Where do you get 7 tefach from?
Sukkah,
right. Because the minimum shear for sukkah. If you look at the Daf al Hadaf on Erevin Gimel Amud Aleph, he's the one who explains this. He says, it's because we accept a sukkah above 20 amos where the schach reaches us.
When I saw this, I wanted to look up where the world 7 came from. Cause I didn't
got it.
Top,
yeah, okay, so you found it also. We accept a sukkah above 20 amos where the schach reaches the walls, because via the walls you notice the schach. The minimum shear for sukkah is 7 tefach. But he also knows, he saw the Ritva in Sukkah Daf Beis Amud Beis, who distinguishes between the visibility requirements of sukkah, where you're kavua, and the visibility requirements of mavui, where you're walking around. This idea of making the analogy to sukkah is not so clear cut.
Doesn't the Aruch HaShulchan has that idea where lechi, it's very easy to see because it's at eye level, whereas a korah you're only going to see when you're standing and looking around. Normally, as you're walking around, your eyes are down. Not
right.
He doesn't say that versus sukkah, but that's the same
in general, right. Correct.
This still doesn't it come out, though, that even for the mechaber who says you will have pitikra by a tefach, there's still an idea of heker, and regardless of whether it's one or four?
According to the mechaber?
Right, if when you say it's four tefach and it works because of
pita.
And it doesn't need to be so strong, necessarily.
Correct.
That you could say that implies that you don't need...
Hekar at all. It's a mahansa. Yeah.
Right. But if he's willing to say pitukr by one tefa, then... But he's still needing hekar. Doesn't that mean that hekar...
Oh, if he's going to see... If he's going to say pitukr by one tefa, then ostensibly you don't need hekar. Unless you take the position that we saw, the Pischazuta's point,
right,
which is that that will not help you because you haven't solved your Rishus HaRabim problem. In other words, his argument is mechitza. His argument is pseudo mechitza is insufficient.
Right.
Yes.
And is what the Pischazuta says, is that even for the four tvachim?
No, like I said to you,
it's chashuv, so therefore it's still
a hacker. I think it's a hacker. I think four tvachim is hard to call not a hacker.
Right. So that's where. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. That's first.
Okay. So. Positioning this thing now. Positioning your hekar. So the basic rule is that it has to be within the walls of the mavli, on both sides, right? And the Siyur Shabbos notes this in Chav Beis Ha'ara Ayin Zayin. And this is as seen in the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Samach Gimel Yudalad, which I brought you in Source Yud Zayin. Od Yishach Shavachar L'mavoy Aparus Baruch Vidis B'kara She'enichena Al Rosh HaMavoy V'tzeu She'enichena Al Kosle HaMavoy. You have to put it on the walls of the Mavoy. And then he talks about the case of pegs. Avolim Nash Shtei Yisedos Etzel HaMavoy Mibachutz. If you put two pegs outside the Mavoy, meaning on the ground, and you just, you know, have a tall pegs, and you lean it on that, I feel of a samochlo, even if it's next to the walls, v'nichamalem, possible, that's no good. And that is even where the pegs extend from the walls. Not just where the pegs are from the ground, but even if they extend from the walls, the Nesiva Shabbos makes that clear in Perachav Beis Ha'ara Ayin Vav. Why does it have to be within the walls? With a lechi, I don't require it to be within the walls. So this goes back to your point about the difference in visibility between lechi and korah. Right? The Aruch HaShulchan in Shin Samach Gimel Chaf Aleph addresses this and says there are two reasons. The source Yuches. V'lo dami lelechi amoshech midovno shamavoy dekasher. The korah is not like the lechi, where if it extends from out of the wall of the mavoy itzal kasher, mishum de lechi la'olam havi heker shu lahakshir es hamavoy. Av a korah ain heker elek shibisoch because you don't put a korah there. The ceiling goes on the walls. That's number one. The ode and further, the lechi is recognized when you are walking. The korah, you only notice it if you pick up your head to look. People don't do that as they're walking. When he's standing in the mavoi, he may at some point pick up his head and see. So you require it to be within the confines of the mavoi. Now, I must note, that doesn't mean it has to be at the entrance. Right, as the Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Samach Gimel Lamed Beis, I did not bring it for you on the sheet, but it doesn't have to be at the entrance. You can place the korah mid mavli. Right, what do you lose by doing that?
You can't carry past it.
Right, that, you know, you'd be stuck assuming the space past it had Torah's mavli. The any further chatzeros that are attached to the mavli beyond it can make their own korah. You need an eruv and so forth. But that's your downside in doing it within the mavli. What if it curves outward? What if your korah curves outward? So shin samach gimel chaf in the Shulchan Aruch says you test haisa akuma if it is curved v'akmimusa nota chutz lamavoy or lamalame esim or lamatame asara, and the curvature of it is such that it extends out of the mavoy or higher than 20, right? It's warped, you know, height in terms of its vertical. The or lamata me'asara less than 10 tefa. Rowan kol shilu yinata lakmimus ve'in bein zel lezesh lo shakshera. So you look and see. If you were to imagine the curved area not there, and that would create a gap, and the gap in your car would be less than 3 tefa, you're fine. V'im lav psula. But if not, then it's going to be puzzle. That's the position of the Shulchan Aruch, on which the Aruch HaShulchan notes in Shin Samach Gimel Chav Gimel to see Rashi Dachesam Ad Beis L'Divrei Hamatir, it's the very bottom of the page, regarding a korah that's on pegs outside the mavli. Rashi there does not accept Lavud. Oh, I did bring it here in Source Chav. Ayin Rashi and so on. Divrei Amadish Shakasa. V'hacha lav machitza mamashu l'hachshoy yedei lavud. Rashi writes there, this is not a machitza such that you'd be able to use lavud. V'zeu chutz l'ksalim. That's outside the walls, though. Aval b'soch ha'ksalim amrinam levudim harbe b'kara. But we're very willing to use multiple levudim regarding kara, as we're going to see. He says, my problem isn't use of lavud with a kara. My problem there is that it's actually outside the walls. That's what's bothering us. What about where your walls are of uneven length? Right? Just like we talked about with Lachi. What if the one wall extends out, you have 100 feet, and the other one extends out 70 feet? So what do I do? So this is straight Shulchan Aruch. Shin Samach Yimel Lamed. In source Kafalov, Mabu should see though Echad Aruch, Echad Katzer, if one end is long, one end is short. Afilo Itzad Aruch, Odef Ala Katzer, Arba Amos, Eino Maniach HaKara, La Kineged HaKatzer. Even if there isn't a 4 Amo length of a Mabu, a gap between the end of one wall and the end of the other, nonetheless, you only put your Kara opposite to the end of the short wall. Avolim Yirtze, Yase Sham Tzuras Pesach Balach, so you want to do Tzuras HaPesach, then you can get fancy. Then you can do it on a diagonal. So within the mavoi, in other words, I have wall on both sides, feel free, put the kara in an angle if you want. Live it up. And then you only have up to the kara, wherever that is, the shorter part will have less space to use, that's all. Okay. So that's number one, is that it's supposed to be within the confines of the mavoi. Point number two is that it need not actually reach the wall. And again, this is Shulchan Aruch, source Chav Beis. Ha'isa yotzeh mikosel zeh ve'inan ogas mikosel zeh. Leaves one wall, does not reach the other wall. Kigon shesamchal amudim, you support it with pillars. V'chein shtei karos, or two different karos. Echa yotzeh mikosel zeh, v'echa yotzeh mikosel zeh, extending from each wall. Upagu zu b'zu be'emtza ha'mavoy, they encounter each other in mid-mavoy. Emein be'yim shloshek shera. If you don't have a lavud gap, it's kasher. And again, lavud doesn't bother us. Yeah, we're good to love it. Yeshvim Shlosha Psula. That's the basic principle. What if it's on pegs that extend from the wall? So again, this is straight Shulchan Aruch, and I brought it for you on in sources Chav Gimel Chav Dalet. The first piece, Shin Sam of Gimel Yudches, comes from the Gemara at the top of Yudalet of Adalef, which says that if the Kara doesn't reach the walls, you can have it on pegs of less than 3 tefach that protrude laterally from the walls. The pegs do not need to be able to hold an Ariach. There's a little bit of machlokas. Others say that it has to be able, the pegs have to be able to hold the kara and the ariach. Mishabura says you should be strict in Shin Samach Gimel Samach Beis. And then the second point, if the kara is on pegs that are on top of the walls and they curve into the mavui and they're not one tefach wide to be kara themselves, right? This actually is worth noting. He says, Im einem gvoim, it's in source of valid. Im einem gvoim, because they are mavoi shlosha, im nitiyasan shlosha. If they're not 3 tefach above the walls of the mavoi, they're not 3 tefach within the mavoi, away from the walls, ksheira. So we're good with that. Shanabrom, ki ilu heim al kosle amavoi, ki ilu akor, no gaz b'mavoi. We're willing to play the lovin in two directions. Vim yesh begovon, im nitiyasan shlosha, psula banana, if any one of them isn't going to work. Fine, that's straightforward. So we want it to be within the mavoi. We do not need it to actually reach the wall. We are willing to play with pegs, we are willing to play with lavud. And then we have this other one with the problematic rush about being 10 tefach from the ground. It must be,
Did we say that the Ritva needs you to actually put the bricks on and plaster them on?
Did we say, No. What the Ritva required was that you have the clay.
Oh, you need to have the clay there, but not that you actually need the bricks.
Correct.
Okay.
With the Mamidim,
we say they don't have to be strong enough. It's just only the car itself has to be strong enough to hold the Arichin. And I wasn't sure. If he actually held that you need to put the bricks on there, then what does he say about the Mamidim?
Sorry, say this again?
The car needs to be strong enough to hold an Ariach or Dimash Orichin.
Yeah.
But not the Mamidin.
Right.
So I wasn't clear what the Ritva held. If I misunderstood. I didn't know if he actually said that you have to have the bricks there, that it needs to be really that strong, literally, and that they need to be plastered.
Right.
Or you're just putting plaster, because then
just
that
plaster
changes what you say about the Mamidin.
Correct. That would seem to be so. Yeah. That would seem to be so. Okay. This rush, you had a chance to go through the rush?
Yeah.
This is entertaining. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Shin Samach Gimel, Lamed Zayin to Lamed Tes. He says, first of all, this is separate from the Rush. He says, the space is too short beneath the Kara, and you dig in order to create a 10 tefa height. The digging has to be across a sheer Mavli, a length of 4 amos into the Mavli in order to create a Mavli. The walls don't count unless you have 10 tefach in height. And you need to do it within 3 tefach of the entrance, as discussed regarding sukkah in Sukkah Dalet Amud Aleph. That's fine. But what if your korah is above 10 tefach but extends below it? So the Aruch HaShulchan in Shin Samach Gimel, Chav Zayin Talamid, says, you know, as we see in discussing the visibility of the korah, Rashi Erevin Yudalet Amud Aleph and the Avodas HaKodesh, as well, which I'm going to see, which we'll see here, disqualify a korah if it is 10 vertical tefach thick. Right? Take a look at source Chav Hey, and we'll actually see the Rashba. The Rashba writes, did you get to see this Rash? The discussion about okay, so yeah, you're in for some fun. The Avodas HaKodesh writes, source Chav Hey, Haisa Kara Atzma Rachava. If the Kara is very wide, and when he says wide, he doesn't mean wide laterally. What he means is height wide. The umishul sheles asara tfachim, and it extends 10 tefach down. Im gevoa min akarka shlosha tfachim, if it is 3 tefach above the ground, yeroa lisha tzarech lavi kora acheres, you need another kora. Why? Shekosha umishul sheles asara, because if it's 10 tefach extending downward, 10 tefach yatsa mitaras kora. It's no longer a kora. Umachitzahi, it's a machitza instead. Ela shegvom and akarka shlosha. It's just 3 tefach above the ground, and therefore it can be invoked, and therefore it's no good.
I got as far as the Rashba.
Okay, so you read the Rashba.
Purim came.
Right. So the Rashba is saying the Purim is coming in the next source.
Right.
You'll see. Because what if you just stop here, right? The Rashba makes a lot of sense. It is no longer a kora. Now it's a machitza, and because it's a machitza, it has to follow the laws of machitza. And if it's 3 tefach above the ground, it's no good. The Rashba is perfectly fine. And there's one letter extra that's added in the Rash that creates a headache. Take a look at source Chavav. Kasav HaRav Shlomo Ben Aderetzal. Dekorashi Meshucha Limata Mei Asara Tfachim. Psula. If it extends within 10 tefach of the ground, the Kor is no good. Dekeven Sheyesh Shir Machitza. Since it has the sheer machitza, nafka mitaras kara, it's no longer a kara, machitza ain't kan, it's not a machitza, davi machitza shagidi and bokenva, right? Just like the problem we've discussed. So, the question is, what does the Rush think the Rashba is saying? And then he goes on to say, v'lesa, d'hacha dafka amar kara ain't kan, mishin d'michsia v'enanires, that's a whole other piece, connection to machatzelis, which we have to get to. But, what does the Rush think the Rashba is talking about? See, the Rush's second part, where he says the kevin sheyashir machitza nafkan mitaras kara machitza, means he's reading the Rashba that we have, right? He says now it's a machitza because it's 10 tefach, but it's higher than 3 tefach from the ground, and therefore we have a problem. If I didn't have the opening words he quoted from the Rashba, I would say everything is fine. The problem is that he said, Lamata mei asara tfachim, lower than 10 tefach. Well, that's no good. So what do we do with this quote? So the answer of the Bach in his Haggadah on the Rush is change the addition. Clearly what it should say is, Meshucha lamata asara tfachim. Or Meshucha Asara Tfachim, if you like, but just take it out. It's clearly not what he meant. Because if he really meant the problem is that it's hanging below 10 tefach, he wouldn't have then had a discussion about it being a machitza. He didn't talk about how tall it is. I don't know whether it's 10 tefach or not. So really, I would have closed the book at the Bach on the Rosh. And that's it.
That's probably a good thing to do.
The Aruch HaShulchan offers this idea, and I honestly do not know what he's talking about. Take a look at Chav Zayin. He says, I don't know what he did with his edition. What the Rush wrote, or what the Rashba wrote, as quoted by the Rush, is La Davka. V'kama pamim kasva poliskim l'shonos ke'elu l'inyin gimel tfachim l'inyin asar tfachim v'kavana she'ina b'tzimtzum hasara. I think he's talking about where it extends about 10 tefach in height, and he's being imprecise. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. I don't know what he's talking about. I flat out don't know what he's talking about. The Karban Nisano, Sivka and Beis, comes up with a suggestion. He says what the Rush could be quoting from the Rashba is the following. It could be talking about where the Korah extends below 10 tefach, just like the wording that's quoted there. The Rashba thought to disqualify it because it extends below that mark, and so it looks like it wasn't put there as Hechsher Mavui. It extends lower than 10 tefach, and therefore it looks like it wasn't put there for the sake of the Mavui. That's the Karban Nisano's suggestion for what he's talking about. But honestly, once you read the Avodas HaKodesh, you see that's not at all what he's talking about. The Karban Nisano doesn't have an Avodas HaKodesh in front of him. He just has the Rush quoting what the Rashba said. The Aruch HaShulchan in Shin Samach Gimel Chav Tes quotes the Taz as saying this. Take a look at Chav Ches. Aval Yesh Mi Shapiresh Va'omar, the Yesh Mi Shapiresh being this Karban Nisano, if the bottom end of the Korah is within 10 tefach of the ground, right, we'll just say, pretend the part that's below isn't there. There is no minimum height for a Korah, so as long as it's bari, we're good. He quotes it from the Taz. And then he says, and based on that, you can explain the Beis Yosef. Al pizeh yisparshu gam divrei Rabbeinu Beis Yosef. So sivchav dalet shukasav aval meniach kara rachava v'nim sheches ktsas lamata me'asara k'shera. De'akavana lamata me'asara min ha'aretz. Ve'ein ze inyan klal ledin ze kamuban. He says that has nothing to do with the Rashba. It's a nice law. It's a good thing to know about. But it has nothing to do with the Rush. The upshot in the position of the Aruch HaShulchan in Shin Samach Gimel Lamed is that it is not kosher. The bottom line out of this is that if it extends to within 10 tefach from the ground, which again the Rashba really wasn't talking about, but the Rush has now put in the field of play, he said, I think it's possible. It's source of test. He says, Mehad Amrina Bereish Sukkah, Haisa Gavoy Yud Tfachim. If you have a Sukkah that's 10 Tefach high, Vehutzin Yordin Lesoch Yud, pieces of Schach descend within 10 Tefach, Sabra Baila Hachshir. So if I wanted to say it's Kusher, just like Govel Amalamichav, right? De Kusher Bekiah Gavna. If it's 20 Ta high, 20 Amas high, but you have Schach that descends below, it's Kusher. So same thing is true here. But Rabbi said, no, that's a Dira Srucha, right? That's a rotten place to live. Because you don't want to live that way, you know, with your 10 tefach high door frame and pieces of schach, you know, extending into the extending below 10 tefach. So he says the Aruch HaShulchan says the same thing is true regarding mavli, right? The gam b'mavli tzarech hiluch yafa kmo b'sukah dira yafa. I'm not sure why you have to have a hiluch yafa, but that's what he says. So the position of the Aruch HaShulchan is to in fact say if it extends below 10 tefach, this other case which the Rush has now raised, it is in fact going to be possible. That's his position. So what emerges from this is, number one, we require that your Korah be within the confines of the Mavli. Number two, it need not actually reach the wall. Number three, it has to be above 10 tefach from the ground. You may have to dig in order to create the 10 tefach space. If the Korah is above 10 tefach but extends below it, so the Aruch HaShulchan is not willing to accept it. Others are willing to accept it.
This Aruch HaShulchan is not talking about how big the Korah itself is, though.
No.
The Rashba is talking about
correct.
It itself is 10. He's just saying it's extending below 10.
Correct. He's not dealing with the original Rashba discussion.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Finally, how being a hecker differs from being a mechitza. So in this, we're going to discuss first visibility, second intent, and third shiur, which will take us back to the one tefach wide discussion. But first of all, visibility. So part of this fact that now that you're a korah instead of mechitza, you have to be visible. So part of that is the issue of being within the mavoi, as we've already discussed. But the main part of it is the maximum height. The maximum height is 20 amos from the ground, as seen on Gimel Lamed Aleph, because you are a hecker. So the Aruch HaShulchan in Shin Samach Gimel, Lamed Zayin to Lamed Tes, says you could elevate just the threshold below the Korah, in order to shrink your height. And the Rambam brings this in Yud Zayin Tezayin that I brought you in Source Lamed. It doesn't bother us that the elevation is just beneath the Korah. That's where it's needed. Which I thought surprising if we're talking about people inside the Mavoi being able to see it. How does it help you? But I guess maybe that focuses their attention because, you know, the floor is rising. The Magen Avraham says...
Or is it just a formality?
Yeah, that could be. The Magen Avraham in Lamed Aleph says you could use dirt in order to do this. And just be careful to make sure that dirt doesn't get woven, worn away. The Aruch HaShulchan does not like that. The Aruch HaShulchan says that that's a dicey thing to do. You need to make sure that it isn't going to be eroded. And he says, pointing out Erev and Daf Gimel, right, people always assume that someone else is going to take care of it. So he's not happy with that suggestion. The Mishnah Berurah in Shin Samach Gimel Tzadi Zayin just says, be careful. That's his answer. Okay, Mishnah Berurah trusts us more than the Aruch HaShulchan does. The other piece of this, though, when we talk about requiring visibility and height, is the issue of Amaltera. Right? The Gemara in Daf Gimel, I brought it here in Source Lamed Beis. My Amaltera. What exactly is an Amaltera anyway? So, Rav Chama Brei de Rabba Bar Avuha Amar Keni. Keni meaning, you saw this? Nests. It doesn't mean Yisro's possible descendants. The Keni refers to bird's nest. It's going to matter. I'm not just mentioning that stop, not the Yisro part, but the nests. Kiyazer Avdimi Amar Amri B'mah Rabba Piske Darza. Ravdimi says, in Eretz Yisrael, they say, pieces of cedar wood. Man damar piske da'arza kosh ken keni. If you accept pieces of cedar wood, you certainly accept the nest thing. Man damar keni, aval piske da'arza lo. If you require the nests, then you're not going to be happy with pieces of cedar. What's the difference between them?
Which stands out. I mean, the nests don't look like part of your binyan, per se.
The decoration.
Yeah. Right. In other words, do I care that there be something visible, or do I care that it really catch the eye like a decoration? That's really the issue. If you want nests, you don't want little pieces of wood. You want something that people are actually going to notice. So if you take a look at the Rashi...
Gold letters, Trump.
Good, he made it into the Sheirsh.
Temper, I mean, he didn't like...
No, I didn't. The Avodah Zakodesh in Lamed Dalet, take a look. He says... Actually, what did I did bring that. That in the Shulchan Aruch. Why did I bring that there? Alright, I mean the Shulchan Aruch. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch because I brought it in Lama Gimel. Vim haya begova chalalo yosim ezrim amma mitzum tzamos. If in its height there are more than 20 amos precisely, in nidr bekora, vol nidr ubalechi, vim rotzach shir bekora, tzach shiasa bat tzir vikiur. You have to do some kind of design. Perish tzir echa bekosel min hasid o al shmei kora. Meaning a design either on the wall, we're going to talk about that, or on the Korah, using a line, Shayidei Kach, Mistaklim Bas, such that people will look at it. So look at the Rashba and Lamed Dalet. Haisa Lamala Me Esrim, Imasa B'samuch La, if you make near it, Chatichos Arazim, pieces of wood, Chashuvim, that are significant, Kshera, Shekol Sheyesh La Dabar Chashuv, Yesh La Kol V'hini Keres, everyone knows about it, it's visible. Via Nikrish Blushim Chacham Amaltera. That's what the Chacham call an Amaltera. The Chenim Asala Tsuros knows Vitsiurin Kshera. And also if you make nice pictures. Also kosher. Shakom Mistaklim Bavi Yesh Lahaker. Chatichos Arazim Vitsiurim Elu below Korah. But you can't just put this up without a Korah. That far we won't go. Avo Vish Yesh Lahaker Enim Atirin Es Hamavoy. That's not the Takana. It may catch the eye, but it's not our Takana. So the Magid Mishnah here, Magid Mishnah in Echos Shabbos, Yud Zayin, Tes Vav, sees a debate between the Rambam and the Rashba. Because the Rambam, if you take a look at Source Lamed, hey, says, V'chein ha'ayiv ha'kar shamavai kir v'tziur, ad shu ha'kom estaklin ba, ha'fi shalamala me'esrim ama ha'kshera, shakar mishum hekir asuya. So he says the Rambam wants kir v'tzir, which is designs like nests, whereas the Rashba isolated the tzir v'kir from chatichos arazim. The Rashba, in other words, is saying that I accept both keni and piskei d'arza, whereas the Rambam only accepts keni. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan makes two notes on this. In Shin Samach Yimel, Lamed Zayin to Lamed Tes, but I brought you the piece from Lamed Ches, he makes two points. Because of time, I'm going to just say this outside, but you can see it there. Number one is he thinks that designs have to be protruding like wood. Because the Amaltura in the Heichal, in the Beis HaMikdash, is made of wood. See Midos Paragimel. So therefore he says, the Shulchan Aruch that we read says you can use lime, but I disagree. He says it's not true. And he adds that the Gemara said bird's nest and cedar, those don't sound like lime. Right? And the Aruch also adds that the word Amaltura, he says, according to Rav Nosson Bala Aruch, the word Amaltura is Greek for Korah. I didn't actually look. I wanted to, but just didn't. But he says that's what the Aruch says.
The Aruch or in the Greek?
In the Greek. The Aruch, I'm sure, says it. I'm just very curious about what the word Amaltura is in Greek. Amalturus? Is it Amalturus? I'm not doubting the Aruch's command of Greek. Certainly not based on my command of Greek. I'm just really curious about this etymology. That's one piece, though, the Aruch HaShulchan points out, is that the designs have to be, a 3D type of a thing. Number two, the Shulchan Aruch said the design can be on the wall, right? The parenthetical comment there. But he says, I don't think that's the Shulchan Aruch talking. He says, I don't know where the Shulchan Aruch got this. No one ever said any such thing. And so he writes in the bracketed thing, which people ask, who wrote the bracketed things in the Aruch HaShulchan in general? So we have a bracketed thing in the Aruch HaShulchan challenging the parenthesized thing in the Shulchan Aruch, saying, V'zehu eizeh hagah b'shulchan aruch ve'inah meharamah. So there.
Oh, because it's in parentheses.
Because it's in parentheses there. He said that parenthetical thing is not, that says that it could be on the wall is actually not the Rama talking. Somebody wrote that into the Shulchan Aruch and it's not true. Okay? What if it is
absurd? That is checkable.
Yeah. We have manuscripts.
We have Hebrew books. They have the manuscripts on it.
Yeah.
You just go on.
If it is, so if you want to take a look, that would be great. What if the Korah is obscured? Right? And this is what the Avodas HaKodesh was talking about initially.
The original case in the Avodas HaKodesh is the Machzelus?
Yeah. So the Gemara discussed on Daf Yedal Lamed Avod Aleph, and the Shulchan Aruch brings it in Shin Samach Gimel Chaf Dalid, that if you spread a Machzelus, a mat, on the Korah, you eliminate the Korah because now there is no Heker anymore. However, if your mat, it's not a mat, don't think a mat that's flat and horizontal. Right? That's no worse than your Ariach. The point is that it's hanging over it. It's flexible. So if it reaches down within 3 tefach of the ground, and it doesn't blow in the wind, suffice. Now you have Mechitza. But you don't have a Korah anymore. That's his point. So as noted before, the Rashba and the Avodas HaKodesh disqualify a Korah which is 10 vertical tefach thick, because it has sheer Mechitza, and that was what the Rashba was saying, that second piece in the Rashba, is that it has sheer machitza, the korah that's 10 vertical tefach thick, has sheer machitza like a korah covered by a machatzelas. It just isn't a valid machitza because it's 1/3 tefach from the ground. And the Rush disagrees. The Rush there says the problem with machatzelas is only that the korah is covered and not identifiable as a heker. That's what's bothering that's the problem of the machusa. Okay. Next, that's visibility. That's one way the heker differs from being a machitza. Second is the issue of intent. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Samach Gimel Pesavav, I brought it for you in Lamed Ches, V'tashi anichena kedei lahatzir ha-mavui. It has to be put there in order to permit the mavui. Im lo nasis l'shem kach, and if not, afilu samcho alemei Erev Shabbos psula, it's no good, even if they were relying on it from Friday. Because it's all about Heker. People have to know it's here as a takana for the mavui, so that they won't think they can carry an Rishus HaRabin. And in fact, that's what we wrote from the Pischa Zuta above, that even if Pi Tigra works for one tefach, it's not going to help for Korah, because you need the intent that creates Heker. There is a discussion in the Tosefa Shabbos, in Shin Samach Gimel Mem Dalet, where he implies that if you add to an unintended and incomplete Korah, completing the Korah with Korah in mind, that actually works. In other words, the initial Korah was put there without intent, but you added to it, that'll work. Ditto in the Pischa Zuta, Shin Samach Gimel Lamed Aleph, it's page 80 in the PDF. I just didn't want to go through the whole rewriting of the Pischa Zuta, but he has this discussion as well, and see also the Nesiva Shabbos Chav Beza Arunin Tayin. But we do require intent for it. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, and this goes back to your question now, Shin Samach Gimel Yates, I believe I brought it on here. Yes, in Source Lamites. Vimara Hakora Khabar Batfahim and it's Shiva Kohala Kabala Riach, Batam Yurad Mishum Dikshia Rakhabar Batfahim, Arba Amrina and Pitekra Yorid Besosem Ritzagamura. Via royally Debrachava Dalid Ainot Sarich La Sosa Lashem either Heter or Heker. I'm not sure which one is the correct edition. Heter is what they have on the Bar Ilan. Either way is right. The he says if it's four times why you don't need intent. You may not even need to rely on it from before Shabbos. Shrei mechitza gemurahi, because it's a full-blown mechitza. Umikomakom smicha nereshitzarech. But then he backtracks and says, well, you need smicha, because we require it for a lechi also. We require smicha from before Shabbos, even though lechi is mechitza.
Right. It must be Hetzer, because he's saying it's whether or not you even have to make it.
To be matzah the thing. Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, and that's the previous right. Ramanar.
Now, the truth of the matter is that I don't think that, I'm not comfortable with that. Because lechi needs a smicha because it has a heker component. You're no longer in heker land. You're now mechitza land. And in fact, the Bir Halacha seems to say that it would not be needed. The Bir Halacha in Source Mem says he ends up with sarachiyun, but he says efshar d'zeh afilo amid me'elav gam kin mutter. The end of this Bir Halacha that I brought you in Source Mem. So lav davka. There's also a discussion of, this is one of the two things where I told you that I wasn't going to get into them, and now I'm really glad I didn't, because we're out of time. But what if you have two koros without intent and a gap of fitevach between them, and you put in a new kora in between them with kavana, and then you remove it? So that's in the Siva Shabbos Chavbez Ha'aranun Zayin. But the last piece of this is, we require visibility, we require intent, we also require shear. Right? That's why we wanted a tefach wide. Can I use two boards that are side by side? So the Aruch HaShulchan in Shin Samach Gimel, Chav Hei Chavav, says L'chatzchila has to be a single korah, one tefach wide. However, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Samach Gimel Chav Beis, quoting Ervin Yudala Rabban Aleph, you can use two boards, combine them to provide a tefach in width. There's a machlokes as to whether the gap between them must be less than one tefach or less than three tefach. Why would I require a max of one tefach? So the Nesiva Shabbos in Chav Beis Ha'ara Samaches says, because then neither one can hold a 1.5 tefach ariach, if you have a gap of more than a tefach in between. The Taz, though, in Shin Samach Gimel Yud Beis, as explained by the Prima Gadim, explains that lavud cannot make up for not being strong. It makes up for not being wide. It doesn't make up for not being strong. Each of them alone is not strong enough. You need to be able to place the Ariach across them. Exactly. This is not really a but. This is explaining that idea, really. But that's the idea of why you would need a gap of maximum of a tefach. What if it is round? What if your korah is round? So you saw this discussion, right? Shulchan Aruch says round korah requires three tefach in circumference, which is one in diameter. So Tosos asks the question on the Gemara in Erev and Daf Yudalid, but you know that that's not true, right? You know that that's not true. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that's what the Gemara meant. When the Gemara asks the question, I brought it for you in Mem Dalid. He says, when the Gemara asks the question of Menahani Mili, how do you know that if it's three tefach this way is one tefach that way, right? That three tefach in circumference is going to be one tefach in diameter. The Gemara asks, how do you know that? And it says, Yam Shol Shlomo. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, because normally the answer is just measure, right? The reason it asks, how do you know that, is because if we're going to measure, we're not going to end up with three as our answer. It's 3.14159, whatever. So the Gemara's statement is, how do we know we can use three when it's mathematically 3 point, etc.? And the answer is, it's gzera, because the Pasuk says, this dimension of three circumference, which is one across, that teaches me that I am allowed to use that in halacha. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says the Gemara would do. The Nesiva Shabbos has a separate discussion about, he quotes the Tosefa Shabbos thinking that if splitting the Korah using this Rowan thing, right, would make it weaker than the minimum, it's no good. But nobody else agrees with him.
So, I don't, maybe it's an Aruch HaShulchan, but the whole concept of applying Rowan here, whereas we don't pass him like Rabbi Yehuda, we don't say it by strength, but we're willing to say Rowan to cut off the edges.
Yeah.
Because here it's, maybe it's basic, it was somewhere, one source we saw that, because it's still strong enough here. And it's just by strength that we don't say Rowan. We are willing to say it by shaving off the round mm-hmm. bit.
Right. So, well, that's what he's saying.
Saying what you just...
When the Seder Shabbos in Chav Beis Haaretz Samach Gimel quotes the Tosefta Shabbos to say that a splitting it would make it weaker than the minimum, it's no good. Oh, you mean he's not willing to say Rowan to sabotage strength?
No, he's saying it's a similar idea to what you just said.
Okay. I mean, everybody but the... All right, yes. Regarding the Asherah disqualification, just to note, the Nisiva Shabbos Chaf Beis Ha'aros Nun Ches Nun Tes has a discussion about it. He notes that one might have expected Asherah not to matter when it comes to Heker, because the Shear is really all about Marasayan. Right? I look at it, I see wood. You know, I think. But he says that, he has a whole discussion about this, but that would have made sense to me at any rate. And then I told you the other piece I wasn't going into, but I have Mara Makomos on it if you want, is the question of two boards that are at different heights, combining them to be a single korah. But at this point, I have to get to the doctor for my eye by 12, so I'm not sure if it's not now.